Coming up on BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, the Cougs pick up a crucial road split with a big win at West Virginia. Now it's back at the Marriott Center for two in a row starting Saturday with red-hot K-State in town. We're working for the weekend with the coach and Fuseni Traore next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years.
All right. Good evening once again. Hello, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio C in the BYU Broadcasting Building on the BYU campus in Provo, Utah. It is snowy Provo, Utah. It's our exclusive weekly access to the BYU men's basketball program coming your way in front of a live studio audience. And yes, they made it through the snow to be here tonight. Yeah. Yes. It is wild out there, so everyone who got here, we applaud them. And we are live and on demand on the BYU TV and BYU radio apps and ESPN+. Coming up on this evening's show, we will, among other things, look back on Tuesday's big road W against West Virginia. BYU freshman Cannon Catchings is profiled in this week's edition of Deep Blue. Our special in-studio guest this week is senior big man Fuseni Traore. We'll have our traditional game show segment featuring Fuse, some audience Q&A, and a BYU basketball trivia question near the end of the program. Let's begin tonight's show by welcoming in the head coach of your Cougar Hoopsters, Kevin Young. Here we go. Another one. Good to see you. All right. I was just saying, you know, those who actually made it to the building tonight deserve a lot of credit. It's our first real snow day we've had here on the show.
I know. The four-wheelers and the sleds probably got them here, but good to see some smiling faces up there.
And we got our taste of it in Morgantown Tuesday night. Yeah. Things got wild there that night.
I was nervous on the bus getting to the airplane, especially going through all the little back roads in the mountains. But
I know it. The little airport is about 45 miles south of Morgantown. Took a little longer than 45 minutes to get there. Then once we got there, we're on the plane a long time just to get that thing ready to fly.
Yeah, my wife was texting me like 3:30 in the morning. Where are you? You said you'd be home. So she was a little worried.
That's the way it goes sometimes. Yeah. But does the travel, you've been so used to the travel thing for years and years and years. Pretty much nothing phases you at this point, right?
Yeah, no, it's a walk in the park compared to the NBA, so I'll take what we got here.
It was the first really extended road trip you had, though. San Diego was multiple games, but kind of compressed and kind of close, but this was Cincy to West Virginia on the road a little time, kind of a while.
Yeah, we were. I thought it was good, though, in terms of where it fell in the schedule and relative to just where we are as a team. I thought it was good, bonding moment. We had some activities on the road. Went to church as a group, which was really cool. Did a nice team dinner in Morgantown. Tom and Lori were with us too, which was cool given everything that's transpired there. So it was fun.
Yeah, Tom Holmoe and his wife Lori were on this trip just coincidentally. Yeah. And of course, the news was released while he was on the trip with us that he'd be retiring. And it was nice that you got to celebrate a win with him on that day.
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, just especially a game like that. Just the way we were able to win it and then having him there in the locker room afterwards was really cool.
The trip began in Cincinnati, and kudos to them. They're surging right now. They were on a bit of a slide. They've now won three in a row, scoring the ball better than anybody right now in the league. You caught them on an uptick.
They played great. Got to tip your hat to them. I did a poor job of adjusting to how hot their guards were. They kept just proving it. I know you're a numbers guy like me. I mean, they were 12 of 18 from the most inefficient shots in basketball, and they just kept making them and making them. In the year, I think they were shooting 28% from those same floor spots. So kudos to them, but proud of our guys for, locking in. We had a great practice in the arena there at West Virginia and carried it over into the game, which was huge.
And resilience has kind of been a hallmark already of your first team, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, this group really responded. We've had very, very few poor days since I've been here, and it's a credit to the guys we have, our leadership group. Dallin really leads the charge with Trevin and Richie. So we haven't had a lot of bad days. And even when things haven't gone our way, we just kind of try to find solutions. That's kind of been the mentality. And we did that, and there was some direct carryover of things that we worked on in practice that really showed their head in key moments of that West Virginia game. So as a coach, that's extremely rewarding.
We got to spend Sunday, Monday, Tuesday in Morgantown. You've done a lot of traveling in your basketball life, but Morgantown, was that a new one for you?
Morgantown. Yeah. I have been to the state, but Morgantown was my first time. I think the highlight for me was just seeing, you know, there's some iconic basketball people with ties there. You know, Hot Rod Hundley, who did the Jazz radio for years. I had a chance to interact with him when he was when I was around here years ago. Rod Thorne, who I bumped shoulders with several times in different NBA deals. And then, you know, obviously the main man, the logo right. himself, Jerry West, who I had a chance to meet a couple of times as well. So I actually snuck out of the side door after shoot around, took a picture of the Jerry West statue just as a hoop head myself. To see that firsthand was cool.
And what a unique venue, too. The cavernous concrete dome, it's massive in there, isn't it?
It's huge. You know, like, we go on the road, and like, obviously, we here at BYU, we're lucky. Marriott Center is incredible. And clearly, you know, we talk about it with recruits all the time. And now I have an even more of appreciation for the Marriott Center after now seeing a lot of the Big 12 venues. But Morgantown was definitely, you know, second to ours in terms of just the sheer size and scope of it.
Very cool. And the importance, I guess, of the road split becomes really big, too. After you take what happens in Cincy, you've got to somehow find a way to come home with something, and you did.
We did. It was huge. It was a massive game. You know, we needed that split. We needed a – it almost worked out better, you know, if a split was inevitable to get the one at West Virginia, you know, just on paper, a little bit more of a tougher opponent than Cincy. Yeah. So to be able to get that one, you know, to beef up the resume and do it in the fashion that we did, more importantly, in terms of building our own confidence internally, I thought was a big step.
So they're a team that's more or less penciled into the bracket, and to beat that team on its home floor has some value.
Yeah, it was big. And you know, for that reason, and like I said, just internally to get it done the way we did was huge.
Well, since we last met here in Studio C, yes, BYU did play two games at Cincinnati on Saturday, followed by that trip to Morgantown to play in WVU Coliseum for a second consecutive year. Let's look back now at some stats and highlights from the BYU-WVU game presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics. We're going to highlight some guys who played well in this one. Yegor, game high 16 for you, double-figure scoring now in 5 of 6. He has a huge three-point play late and a huge late shot clock three-pointer late. Great day for Yeggs.
It was. You know, I love the way he's adjusting to these teams pressuring him. You know, he's finding ways to get to the basket. You know, he's putting his head down a little bit more and driving that basketball, which I think is really taking pressure off of us on the perimeter, and that's something that we've been talking about quite a bit. So, and obviously, you know, that three was huge. But also his free throws that he made down the stretch, you know, after him struggling a little bit from the line, those were huge plays.
Made three or four freebies on the night. Trey Stewart, a good weekend for him, really, between Cincy and West Virginia. Saw more time, I think, in both games. And on Tuesday, he goes 3 of 3 from the field, makes both of his threes. He scores 8 points in just over 6 minutes. You combine the two games, he plays 15-plus, and just really solid for you when you ask for him.
Yeah, no, Trey's great, man. I got a great relationship with him. You know, I've talked to him a lot about, you know, just staying ready, and he's had a great attitude in practice. But, you know, he made shots, but he came in and executed defensively extremely well, which was a huge part of getting that win.
He said in our postgame radio that your player development director, Jordan Brady, JB, tells him your job isn't just to play basketball, it's to be ready to play basketball, if that makes sense.
It is. Yeah. And I mean, that's Jordan's pro side coming out. I mean, that's a big thing in the NBA where, you know, you got all these young guys that are sitting behind these superstars, and that's kind of the mantra in the league. And Jordan runs a lot of our stay ready group runs and workouts and so forth. And, you know, Trey's been and Mihailo, too, and a few other guys have done just that. They've stayed ready.
Yeah, speaking of Mihailo, a guy that wasn't playing a ton of minutes heading into the weekend, but he plays 18 minutes over the two away games. And in Morgantown, helped to finish the deal for you, really. But over the two games, he scores 14, 6 points in Morgantown. Did all the scoring in the second half, the big three to give you the lead, and then the three-point play that basically seals the deal in this one off the short roll, and he dives, and what a big finish.
Yeah, I mean, his just skill level is gives us a different look at the five spot. I mean, he's a guy, you know, early on he was playing a lot at the four early in the season. And as seasons go, things change. There's ebbs and flows. We've been trying to find ways as a staff to get him on the floor more. He just gives us a different look at the five, you know, where he can pick and pop. It spreads the floor. It gives those guards much easier outlets. And That last play, you know, his just being that nimble to be able to get down the lane and then to seal it with that, to put it up to a two-possession game was huge.
You know, it's matchup dependent a lot of times, too. But is he earning himself more minutes in your trust down the stretch here by the way he's playing?
He is, yeah. Not just me. I think, you know, his teammates as well. But again, like, you know, people are trying to be super physical at the point of attack with us, with our ball handler. So having a skilled big out there. You know, I learned that from something Chris Paul taught me in the NBA was, you know, pick and roll, pick and roll. But he's like, man, KY, sometimes I just want to throw it back. I don't want to always have to throw it in the interior. I just want to be able to throw it back to a big who pops sometimes, especially against pressure. And I think you see that with Mykhailo. You know, not even necessarily shoot it, but just release it, play the second side of the floor. So he gives us a lot of different versatility, you know, on the offensive end. And even defensively, he can switch and do some different things as well.
Our final clip we want to show from West Virginia. He didn't have to have a huge scoring night in this game to play well for you. He played a game-high 36 minutes. In fact, no one on the BYU team played, I think, more than 24, except for Richie's 36. He ends up going 4-for-5 inside the arc, adds 4 rebounds to his 9 points, 3 assists. Richie having an impact.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that we've been able to count on at a high level all throughout the year. You know, he did a good job defensively as well. There was a lot of specific things we were doing game plan-wise. But even without the scoring, like we showed guys clips today, I mean, Trevin and Richie shooting, you know, there's a term in basketball, they're like just the gravity of having shooting out there. I mean, they literally were face-guarding Trevin and Richie in the corners. And so it's just opening up driving
lanes. Creates opportunities.
Yeah, it does. And our guys were able to take advantage of it. I mean, when you put multiple 40% three-point shooters out there, it puts a lot of stress on the defense.
And we have to note that more than the individual work Mawut did, and he did a tremendous job primarily on Javon Small, it was going to be more than just Mawut helping to shut down Javon. And you become only the second team to keep Javon Small under 10 points in a game. Houston was the other, and we know how good Houston is defensively. What was the key to what you did against the guy you're going to see one more time in the season?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of credit to our coaching staff in terms of just studying how we could slow him down. That was probably one of the things one individual player we studied more than anyone, just given how prolific he is. I mean, we talked about it pregame. You know, he's responsible for like 70% of their offense or something like that. So that is the game plan. But it was attention to detail. You know, it was consistently executing. And I told the guys this morning, you know, I've been a part of a lot of game plans to try to slow down a lot of really good players, and that was one of the most impressive executed game plans that I've ever seen. I mean, to hold him to 4 field goal attempts was just incredible.
Yeah, season-low attempts in 4 and season-low makes in 2. And you did give Mawut a lot of work to do on Tuesday night, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's when he's at his best. I mean, you saw with Edgecombe earlier in the year, even though he had a good individual performance, but you know, Mawut's ability to, you know, deny guys the ball, to be able to force guys one way or the other, to fight through screens, to gap screens, to get back in front. I mean, he's really special in that sense. And then to have the trust behind him, you know, we found something with him and Richie being able to do certain things defensively when the two of them are involved in actions. And so, you know, I think that's where the experience is really showing.
All right, final stat sheet from Morgantown. The Cougs win this one 73-69. The rebounding number jumps out, a double-digit edge there. And the bench, which has been so good for you this year, was dominant at West Virginia.
Yeah, it was. And I thought that was our most complete team win of the year, you know, having so many different guys contribute. I think that kind of is a unique thing with this team relative to not just the Big 12, but just college basketball in general. You know, we're able to throw out, you know, a lot of guys who can help. It makes it harder on me, honestly, to figure out who that guy or guys are on a given night. But, you know, again, credit to, you know, people like Jordan Brady, John Linehan, all of our grad assistants who helped those guys stay ready to come in and contribute.
We didn't highlight him, but on that note, Cannon Catching scores 11 for you. A couple of really big makes. And BYU's now 7-1 this year when he just gets double figures. Doesn't need to be a big night, but if he has a good night, it's usually a good sign for you.
It is. I mean, he bailed us out in that game in some moments where we just couldn't get it and couldn't get any good shots or couldn't score. And he gets fouled on 2 3-point attempts. And, you know, I just...
What was he, 5 of 6 from the free throw line that night?
Yeah. Yep, he was. But just trying to get him... I mean, the biggest thing with Cannon is just he has to stay aggressive. You know, he's passive at times, and, you know, it's hard to score, obviously, when you're not looking to shoot it. But, you know, he's such a threat with his size. I tell him all the time, that, like, you're either going to make it or miss it. They're not blocking your shot. You're 6'9". It's a lot like Kevin Durant. I show him clips of KD all the time. And me and Monty Williams used to joke about that with Kev. It's like, Kev's either going to make it or miss it. That's it. You're not going to do anything to stop it. And so I try to get that going with Cannon. And the nights where he does it, you know, he's really effective.
All right, let's check the team sheet now. And BYU pretty much in the mix where it was last week. Not a lot of movement, which is good for BYU because the Cougs are already in a pretty good spot. Again, that team sheet looks solid. The resume metrics are going to come up as we head down the stretch. Some great Q1 opportunities. But the predictive metrics, the ones that show how you play, those are really high right now.
Yeah, and you know, again, I'm still learning all the metrics. All I know was it was a huge win on the road, you know, to beat a tournament, you know, caliber team. It's something we can build on. We know we still have, you know, work that we got to continue to do, you know, with the big, like you said, hottest team in the league coming up here in Kansas State. So we're just hoping that we can, you know, build off that one and go take care of the next one.
Okay, 4 weeks from now, the conference tournament is going to be underway in Kansas City. Let's take a look at the standings and how they're shaping up right now as we do head down the stretch. BYU stays in the top tier, but suddenly a team joining BYU at 7-6 is Kansas State. Wasn't too long ago, Coach. They were 1-6 in league. They've ripped off six straight wins to join you in a tie for sixth.
Yeah, I mean, credit to their staff. I mean, to be down, you know, 1-6 in the league and to have that big of a turnaround, that's pretty remarkable. It's, you know, in studying their team, it's a testament to shot making. I mean, their three-point shooting in that stretch has been, you know, much better than it was early on. But then they've, you know, they found some confidence. They got multiple guys playing well. And, you know, we look forward to that challenge.
All right, I mentioned quad one opportunities down the stretch. Let's take a look at BYU's final remaining game. Seven games left on the Big 12 slate, and four of them will be quad one. And it's the Sunflower State duo coming through town this weekend with K-State on Saturday, followed by Kansas next Tuesday. Again, great opportunities down the stretch to make some noise and to help your resume.
You know, I learned something from you every week, the Sunflower State.
That's it.
You know,
yes,
that's
Rico.
Good knowledge by you. But
you
yeah, no, we got some good opportunities coming up. This place will be rocking for sure, you know, for that game. And then obviously, you know, the Kansas game before we get out on the road. But, I mean, again, testament to this league. Every time you go play, you got a chance to play a good opponent, which is, you know, helps us build up that resume.
Yeah, no soft spots whatsoever. All right, good first segment. Time for our first break of the night. And this reminder that your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play happens with BYU Sports Nation. Join Spencer and Jaron weekdays at noon Eastern, 10 Mountain on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, Kusini Traore is going to join us in studio, and Deep Blue with Cannon Catching. Stay with us as BYU Basketball with Kevin Young continues.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years, and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics.
We are in Studio C on a snowy Thursday night. Welcome back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, where it's time for our latest edition of Deep Blue. Four-star recruit Cannon Catchings is the latest branch on his family's collegiate and professional basketball tree. But Cannon didn't rely on his family legacy to earn his spot on the BYU roster. Hard work, sacrifice, and perseverance are already showing what it takes to achieve excellence at a high level, the level established by his pedigree and his predecessors. This is Deep Blue, featuring Cannon Catchings.
Pretty much all of us have played basketball in some capacity. I played collegiately, played a little bit professionally. Of course, everybody knows my sister.
I played 16 years in the WNBA with the Indiana Fever, won 4 gold medals with Team USA, won a collegiate championship at the University of Tennessee underneath Pat Summitt. I've had a lot of fun.
My grandfather, he was probably one of the first people that I knew that was in the NBA and was like, oh, I need to kind of follow what he did.
It was such a regular part of our lives that we didn't realize that not everybody grows up the same way. So, I mean, Cannon pretty much has had a basketball in his hand since he was little, and it's kind of been a natural progression that, of course, yeah, I'm going to play basketball. I've tried pushing him to other sports, and it's like, no, I just want to do this. So I definitely think he's got that, those basketball genes and bloodlines.
It's like, if you want to play, play. If you don't want to play, we still love you no matter what. And so I think that takes off some of the pressure. But if you are going to play, we want you to give 100%. And we want you to, you know, to act like you want to be there and to put your all into whatever it is that you say you want to do.
basketball came pretty easy, you know, just I'd say till like freshman year of high school, really.
His ninth grade year was pretty miserable. It was a blessing and a curse to be put on a JV as a freshman because he did not get to play very much at all. And that was also coming out of COVID. So not only did he not play, he sat on the back of the bench because they had basically two rows and everybody's 6 feet apart. So it was a tough season to watch him kind of struggle through.
I was pretty low, to be honest, because that was like the first time I feel like I really hit adversity, you know. Just being young, you want all these things, and you don't really know what it takes to have them.
Some of it was the physical challenges of high school basketball. Some of it was when things didn't go as well, how we were going to respond and fight through that. I thought it was a real challenge for Cannon his freshman year, but, man, the story is really good how he responded to it.
Right at the end of Cannon's freshman year, my sister got inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame. And Cannon got to go and be part of that Hall of Fame enshrinement weekend.
It was crazy being at the Hall of Fame induction because, I mean, you see players like Michael Jordan, Shaq, hear about players like Kobe at the time.
Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer just walking down the hall, and I'm with my entourage, my nephews are with me, and it's just cool. And, of course, everybody's asking, are you a hooper, are you a baller? And it's like, yeah. Well, what does that mean? And when they start asking that question, it's like, no, do you hoop or do you hoop? Like, there's a difference between do you hoop or do you hoop?
I'd say being at the Hall of Fame induction, it definitely made me realize how much work that it takes, because everybody in every speech that they gave was always talking about being at the gym early, staying late, just getting extra shots up, and also, you know, getting stronger every day, trying to get better. In that summer, I was more dedicated than I had ever been to that point. I mean, I was doing stuff I hadn't done before, like, you know, just getting extra shots up, always playing outside and stuff like that, being in the gym most of the day. So I was pretty sore most of the time, but I just kept playing because I wanted to get better and better.
He finally believed in himself. And he finally, there was a point somewhere in there that he was like, you know what? I can do this. Like, I could be really good. And then sophomore year comes, and he just blows up.
Catchings comes down with it. Hankney trying to slow down Catchings. He gets to the basket. He finishes at the rim.
At the beginning of the season, he was told, oh, you'll start JV. By the time the season started, he was only playing varsity. And a couple games into the varsity season, he was starting. So he earned everything. You know, he worked his tail off, and it showed.
Cannon was producing on the offensive and defensive end. He was statting. You know, people started to call, take interest, the scouting services. We started having more interaction with the collegiate coaches.
He just wants to play basketball at the highest level. Like, he wants to guard the other team's best player. He wants to be on the court when the game's on the line. I'd like to think some of that is just from, you know, what he's seen in his family with his mom and his aunt. But at the end of the day, Cannon's his own individual, and the dude loves the hoop, and he's like, you know, wants to play at the highest level. And that's what it is.
It doesn't matter what his grandfather accomplished. It doesn't matter that my sister's won 4 gold medals and, you know, had the career that she's had. And then, of course, it doesn't matter what I've done either. This is Cannon's story and his journey, and I think some people do sometimes look at the bloodlines and assume, oh, yeah, you know, he's got it easy. And it's like, no, that couldn't be further from the truth. Like, he has really had to work and claw and work harder than most kids.
To see him grow into the young man that he is, especially in the basketball world, through the highs and lows and the things that he's had to deal with. So his growth mentally, not screaming at people, maybe not as much, but yeah, just he's amazing. I'm really, really proud of him.
You just have to keep working hard at what you want to do, no matter what it is, you know, playing the piano, playing basketball. I mean, whatever you do, you just have to work hard and keep doing it, because, I mean, eventually it'll pay off.
And it's already paying off. What great exposures he's had to what it takes to be the best, right?
Yeah, no, it comes from a great family. I mean, his mom's here, you know, frequently. You know, his aunt comes through quite a bit. You know, she's has a busy schedule of her own doing TV. But, you know, just I think it's a unique perspective, you know, that he has in the game of being around that much greatness. And so, you know, he is carving out his own path. You know, he's you got a great circle around him of people that care about him. And, you know, that whole recruiting process was a fun one for me, getting to know them. And the fact that he decided to come here was a huge deal, you know, for us. And, you know, he's kind of been up and down. He's really trending up. You know, I think that Baylor game was obviously incredible. Like we said the other night, on the road in a hostile environment, he came through for us. So, you know, my hope for him has all along been like, where can we get him by the end of the year? Mm. And, you know, it's kind of been up and down, like I said, but, you know, he never doesn't show up. You know, he's there every day. He's putting in the work. And I think that's why he's been able to kind of battle sort of how this season's gone for him so far.
He's already made some BYU history, though, with that 8-for-8 night a couple weeks ago. It was pretty cool.
I mean, that was unbelievable. You know, he was that was a huge game, obviously. And you know, you don't see too many nights where it's an 8-for-8, especially, you know, all being jump shots except for the one, I think, reverse. But, yeah, he's had some real special moments for us, and I know he's got more in store.
Awesome. All right, our in-studio guest now tonight is BYU's career leader in field goal percentage, and has two of the top four shooting seasons in BYU basketball history. He's third all-time in offensive rebounds, only a handful of boards from entering the BYU career, rebounding top 10. He's simply a delightful human being. We're glad he's with us in Studio C. Please welcome in Fuseni Traore.
You got the hot seat right here.
You're a brave man with the shorts today. It is not shorts weather out there today. How you handling the snowfall today?
Oh, man, you know.
To deal with it.
Yeah, you never get used to it, you know.
Well, can you believe we're in your senior season here at BYU?
It's actually crazy. Like, time actually flies, you know.
Yeah, I can't believe that it has already gotten to this point, that it's year number four and senior season for you. We're going to fix your mic because I think your mic's not quite functioning right now. So we're going to we'll still talk to you.
I don't have a mic.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good reason. Yeah.
Do I need to lean over?
Yeah, we'll have you kind of talk closer. Yeah. We can hear you, but we might try and fix it during the break. All right. This is your senior season.
Yeah.
And has it gone quickly for you?
Yeah, it's been so far so good, you know, like thinking about my freshman year, my sophomore, my junior, and now I'm senior, you know. It's just actually crazy, you know, how actually time flies, you know.
It does fly.
I'm grateful for my time here, you know.
What do you want to see done while still a BYU Cougar this year?
Well, we still have a lot of things to go, you know, like as the team we talk about, you know, like we want to make a big run, you know, we want to win the Big 12 championship, you know. So we're not done yet.
Here we go. We're going to give your own mic. How's
you're
that?
You're big time, dude. You got the handheld mic.
Yeah, now he's rocking the mic. There you go.
That looks good. You look good with that.
All right.
So, yeah, we still have, you know, a lot of everything, you know. We still have a lot to get done, you know.
Okay. When you got the job, how familiar were you with Foose and his game, and what were your first impressions of him?
I was actually pretty familiar with it. You know, obviously, like you said, he's been here. You know, I was a kind of a casual observer of all things BYU basketball, and I remember watching several games over the years with him playing. And then once I got to meet him and have some conversation with him on the phone, just quickly understood just the level of human being as well with the basketball skills. So, you know, him having gone through a previous Big 12 season, that was something that was big for me, you know, to try to get him to come back. And, you know, he's pretty locked in on BYU, so it wasn't so much of a hard sell. I think he could speak for himself, but it seems like he really has enjoyed his time here. So he was locked in on coming back, and he made that pretty obvious. You know, those big shoulders are hard to miss when I was watching and when I was in the NBA.
How about you, Foose? When there was the coaching change, how soon was it before you felt comfortable about staying a Cougar and having another year here with Coach?
Yeah, well, and like we all know, everything was just super different, you know. Like we didn't know, like a lot of teammates was thinking of leaving, you know. Like after, you know, like Coach got a job, I said, okay, cool, you know. And I know he called me, so I just hired Bridges, you know. So I was just super excited about that, you know. Like I just said, I know I'm making the right decision of staying, you know.
How do you describe Coach Young's coaching style?
Oh, man, he just... Well, I feel like Coach is just This is a chill guy, you know. He doesn't talk much, but whenever he talks, everybody's listening.
You've had 2 years in the WCC and now 2 years in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. So you've seen these two different leagues. How is it like to play in the Big 12 right now?
Oh, man, the Big 12 is definitely the toughest conference for sure, you know. Compared to WCC, WCC is way easier than Big 12, you know. But so far, so good, you know. Like, it's just, you know, like, I feel like every day we play against the best of the best, you know. Like, that's just every single game, you know. But I'm just excited, you know, like, to learn a lot, you know, and just improve on my game, yeah.
And you got a guy that already been through the Big 12 wars for one season. That meant a lot to you, too.
For sure. And then you mentioned his career field goal percentage. You know, to be able to do what he does in this league and be able to finish at the clip that he does is extremely impressive. It has a big body of work to show for it. You know, it's not like it's a game here or there to do what he did for a whole season. And he's been able to do it for us, you know, again, and we'll continue to rely on it, you know, down the stretch and into the postseason. I think the experience of him and Dallin and some of these other guys going through it before, like, it's really starting to show its head that the deeper we get into this thing.
Foose, do you like having a fellow Malian on the roster in Keba Keita?
Oh, yeah, my boy. You know, I'm just, you know, Keba is my boy. You know, we always talk in Bambara, you know. It's actually fun to have him here, you know.
Did you know each other back home?
No, I only met him one time in Mali when Mike Clayton was helping him come in here, you know.
Okay.
But we were actually roommates in Wasatch Academy, you know. My senior year, we were roommates, you know, like. Of course, we were always talking Bambara, you know, and both of our English just got worse, you know. that was definitely not a good idea, you know.
Yeah. Richie Saunders, another one of your Wasatch guys, right?
Yes, Richie Saunders, you know, also mine, yeah.
Okay, any favorite BYU memories so far for you, playing basketball at BYU? Any favorite moments?
Well, there have been a lot, you know. Well, especially Keba, you know, like whenever that guy's dunking, you know, you just can feel everything, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And then I know the Marriott Center is a special place for you. Do you feel the love when you're out there from Cougar Nation?
Oh, yeah, I always feel it, you know, like every single time whenever I get on the court, you know, you can just hear the whole fan just calling fools, you know.
Yeah.
You know, just super cool, you know.
That is cool to hear your own name be out there like that.
Yeah, no, it's super cool, you know.
Well, I'm glad that you're here. And we should note, the Traore family name is going to stick around for a little bit. Can you tell us how that's going to happen?
I know, yeah. My little sister actually commit here, you know.
Let's go. Can we clap that up? Yeah. Let's go. Yeah.
Now, she actually started school last January, you know. She's not going to be playing, but she's going to be playing next year, you know. So I'm super excited about that. You know?
And her first name is?
Mariam Traore.
Mariam. All right, that's awesome. That's fantastic. All right, stick with us, Foose. We'll take a break. More with Fuseni Traore as we continue on BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Stick around. All right, this is BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. We are presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. All right, we have Fuseni Traore with us, and it's time for our fun and games portion of the show. And Fuse, you are a fisherman. Fuse has been an avid angler for many years. So we present tonight the return. This is not the first time we've done this. The return of a segment we are calling and have been calling Something's Fishy with Fuseni Traore. All right. Here's how it's going to go.
Uh-huh.
We are going to share with you three facts about some of your teammates and or coaches. Only one of the facts is true. Two are false. So your job is to pick out the one true thing that we're going to share with you about your teammates. So one fact will be true. Two will be false. Two will be fishy. You pick out the truthful one. So look for the right one. We're starting with Dallin Hall. Three facts about Dallin Hall, and only one of them is true. Did he serve in the California Anaheim mission? Was he the Utah Gatorade Player of the Year as a senior? Or does he prefer Star Trek to Star Wars? One of those things is true. Which one is it, Foose, do you think?
I know he served in California. Can I see?
There we go. We got to get the answers.
One of those is true. A lot of missions in California, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a really good high school player. We know that.
I'm going to go with B.
Go with B.
Yeah.
Utah Gatorade Player of the Year is? Yes. Correct. Yeah. Yes. That's how it goes. Huh. All right. And there's our boy Dallin Hall. We love Dallin. All right. Number two, it's Richie Saunders. Mm. Okay. Three facts about Richie. One is correct. One is true. Is he learning and speaking four languages? Does he have five older sisters? And did he play his high school ball at Utah Prep? Well, I think you know one of those is not right.
Already. Yeah.
So which is correct? Which one is the correct fact? Which one is true?
I know he speaks a lot of language, you know. And I know he got five older sisters.
So does the language one feel right to you?
That feels right, but I also know he got five sisters, you know.
He has a lot of sisters, but the actual truth is that he is learning and speaking four languages. Mm. He does have, I think he has four older sisters, not five.
Oh, I mean four,
Yeah, you got it right, though. He's learning and speaking four languages. We think you were kind of headed that direction. Yeah. That's Richie Saunders. All right, our third teammate we're going to learn more about will be Yegor Demin. Mm-hmm. Something is fishy, though. Only one of these things is true. A, is his favorite singer Luke Bryan? B, is his favorite American food cheeseburgers? Or C, did he dress as a character from the movie Dumb and Dumber for Halloween?
Yeah, that was C.
C, yeah. And C is correct. And we have video evidence of this. I think it was him and Townsend Triple doing the Dumb and Dumber thing on this one. Yeah, here we go.
Hey, we got Dumber, baby.
I don't know who's Dumber.
All right, Yegor was Lloyd Christmas. That was very good. Good job. All right, next up, it's Kaba Keita. Three facts about Kaba. Was he the NIBC Defensive Player of the Year as a junior while playing at Wasatch Academy? Does his brother play pro volleyball in Italy? Or C, is he the tallest player on the team?
It's B.
He says B very confidently, and that is true. His brother plays pro volleyball in Italy.
Yeah.
Well done.
I was hoping we'd have some clips teed up for that. When you guys go home, Google his brother. He's an unbelievable athlete.
In action, you mean?
It's insane to watch.
I should never see anybody who can jump higher than him.
Yeah, I can imagine. All right, we go to Cannon Catchings now. A, did his grandfather play in the NBA for 10 seasons? Is he the youngest player on BYU's roster? Or C, did his mother and aunt both play in the WNBA?
Mm. You know this one?
Mm. Well, he's going to be the youngest.
You want to help him, coach, on this one?
I think it's A.
Okay. Now, he did play in the NBA. So, see, they fooled us because he was an 11-season NBA veteran. They were hair-splitting. Okay. But, yes, his mother and aunt both played in the WNBA. That was kind of not fair. Okay, number six. It's Mihailo. By the way, there's Cannon's family, mom, aunt. We saw them in the deep blue tonight. Mihailo Boskovic. A, does he enjoy watching documentaries? B, did he learn English from the Disney Channel? Or C, did he play handball growing up? Which one do you think on this one?
Coach, what do you think? Oh, man, this is
a tough one.
The audience thinks? I hear a lot of B.
B?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust the audience. Yeah, we'll go with B on this one. And let's hear about this from Mihailo Boskovic. He talked about this recently.
Hmm. And they didn't have cable, which at that time, it was like some Serbian cartoons and stuff that people were watching. And I didn't have that. And I just, like, the next thing I had was, like, Disney XD, I remember.
Tough.
And Disney Channel and stuff like that. So I just watched. What was the Disney XD? I can't remember right now, but...
Disney XD was nice.
I know Kick Buttowski. I remember
Kick
that.
Because you said a Kick Buttowski reference in the way the other day. I was like, I don't even remember that show.
No, what I remember was started like that, and it was after that I started playing, you know, games. Mm-hmm. You know, mostly people are speaking English.
Yeah.
And just watching movies, and I started watching it without the captions, so, yeah.
Okay, what was the best way to teach you English, Foos? How did you learn English the best?
I would say watching movie, you know. Like, just put movie on and just put the subtitle on. Yeah, a bit more. Because when I first got here, I was just watching everything in French, you know.
In French?
French and Bambara, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't learning anything for 4 months. I said, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to speak English, you know. So my teacher helped me, give me a lot of books, you know. And actually, Richie helped me a lot, you know. Mm. Richie always... always been talking to me, and I said, man, I don't want to talk, you know, but he just sit me down and talk to me, you know.
Well, you're a great English speaker now, I got to say. Our seventh teammate is Mawut Mag. Hmm. Three facts. Does he have 8 siblings? Is his first language Dinka? And did he transfer from Maryland? Which one of those is true?
That one would be.
B is the great, that's another good choice. I think, yes, B is language. The language is Dinka. Yes. We know that he's a Rutgers transfer, and he actually has 9 siblings again. Coach Chris Burgess is next up.
Oh, you're
all right, 3 facts about Chris Burgess. Played his first 2 years of college at Duke. His son, Chamberlain, is committed to BYU. Or C, played professionally in Spain. Which of those is true? And, Coach, you're welcome to help Foos with this one, too.
I think it's C.
Yeah, we're going to see.
It's actually
A.
I didn't know if it was 1 or 2 years.
It was 2 years at Duke. And it's his nephew, Chamberlain, of course. And we're trying to be fooled.
I mean, the guy's played in every other country. He's played in Spain.
So you'd think Spain makes sense. Here's where he's played. Turkey, Australia, Philippines, South Korea, Egypt, Ukraine, Puerto Rico, Poland, United Arab Emirates, no Spain.
And
if you can
Spain's
believe
not
that.
In there. Come on,
how does that happen?
Let's get the guy.
How does that happen? All right. Okay, Brody Kozlowski time. A. His dad played basketball at BYU.
I didn't know this.
B, he was a one-time Utah 6A player of the year. Or C, was his high school valedictorian.
C.
We think C. He's a sharp guy. He was the high school valedictorian,
Shout out to Brody.
And wasn't he the 2-time player of the year?
And he was a 2-time player of the year. Wow. And his dad played football, not basketball.
2-time player of the year and valedictorian. No pressure. Mike in up there.
Exactly. Yeah. Finally, head coach Kevin Young.
Oh, geez.
All right. Now, this means, the team he was coaching for. Did he coach LeBron James, coach Chris Paul, or coach James Harden?
Yeah, that's Chris Paul.
Chris Paul is the correct answer. I got to say, though, if we were to include some All-Star.
That's where I thought you were going.
Yeah, so what happens if we include All-Star?
LeBron was on our team. We coached an All-Star game in Cleveland, which was one of the coolest things that I've ever been a part of. That was a special weekend.
But as your player, as your guy, Chris Paul was the answer.
Yep, Chris was my guy for sure.
All right, Foos, well done, man. You knocked it out of the park. Right. Good job. Yes. All right. Tune in on, we'll take a break right now. When we come back, we'll have audience Q&A. Audience Q&A is next. As BYU basketball with Kevin Young continues. Stick with us.
BYU basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. Health Decide. Decode your DNA, design your destiny. Ken Garth, we hear you. And Brady Plus, delivering the right supplies plus support to ensure businesses are more successful.
Back in Studio C, welcome back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Time now for some audience Q&A with Coach Young and Fuseni Traore. It is presented by Ken Garth, we hear you. We have our studio mic, and we have, who are you? I know who you are. Who are you?
I am Luke Bobo.
Luke, what's your question?
My question is for Foos, and my question is, what will you miss about playing basketball at BYU?
Man, definitely miss a lot of stuff, you know. I would definitely say, just people, you know, the fan, you know. Like, that just, I don't think so there is any place, you can find any place like that, you know. Like, definitely the fan and the people here.
We went to Morgantown, West Virginia, which is pretty far away.
Yeah.
And you know when the game ends and after a big win like that, you get to come out of the locker room and you see all those people in BYU blue all the way across the country. It never gets old, does it?
No, it's just crazy, you know. Like, sometimes you feel like, even a away game, you feel like it's a home game, you know. Like, it's just amazing, you know.
And you're getting used to that a little bit now, Coach, aren't you, too?
Yeah, it's one of the most unique things about being here, for sure.
All right, next question. Hi, what's your name?
My name is Hannah Edwards.
And who's your question for?
It's Foos.
Go ahead.
I love cheering Foos at the games. But when you hear the crowd cheer Foos, do you accidentally hear them booing at you?
No, actually never thought they were booing at me, even the first time they did, you know. Like after the first time they did, and a couple of the work people come and ask me, just make sure, you know, we're not booing you. I say, yeah.
Just so you know, that's not what you're hearing. Yeah. Yeah. It does sound pretty cool, though, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that is super cool, you know.
That is awesome.
For
okay,
sure.
Great
One
question.
Of the best things ever.
Yeah. Next, sir, what's your name?
My name is Nixon, and my question is for Foos. Mm. What is the best dunk that you have done in your career?
Might have been this year. In San Diego.
Oh, yeah, but San Diego, was, oh, man, that was nice.
That was straight.
It was against who again?
Was it Ole Miss?
Ole Miss.
Yeah, that was incredible.
No, that was cool, yeah.
Yeah. We've got Kansas State and Kansas coming up, these next two home games, and it's about time of year when people start talking about the NCAA tournament and where you are in the bracket and the bubble and all those kinds of things. How much do you push that aside and just focus on what Coach Young and coaches are telling you and kind of staying in the moment? How much do you get excited about the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, no, we actually don't even think about that, you know. We just focus on the game by game, you know. Like, you just don't want to get too much ahead, you know. Like, it's just one day at a time. Like Coach always said, you know, like, today we come, we get better, and tomorrow we come do the same thing, you know. You just have to take out of a business. Like, you just got to focus game by game, you know. But the end goal is the big picture, you know. But now we're not just focused on that, you know. We just focus on every single game, you know.
And Coach,
just get it done, you know.
How much do you focus on that or pay attention to it or check in day-to-day on where you stand with that?
Yeah, I mean, me and the coaching staff, we you know, we talk about it, we're aware of it, you know. Burge is kind of our in-house guy to keep us in line with that stuff, but like Foo said, I mean, our message daily is just come in and try to stack up day after day after day and worry about whatever we have to do next. Like, tomorrow it'll be come in, have a great shoot around, and then we come in after that, it'll be have a great game and try to execute the game plan. So that's kind of been our approach.
All right. Thanks for the questions, folks. And speaking of questions, time for tonight's And One trivia question presented by Brady Plus, providing JanSan food service and packaging supplies. Plus, support Brady Plus, ensuring businesses are more successful every day. Question: only one BYU duo has scored 70-plus points in a single game. Which two players combined to form the highest scoring single game pairing? The answer is coming up next on BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Stick with us. All right, so welcome back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Tonight's And One trivia question presented by Brady Plus. Only one BYU duo has scored 70 plus in a single game. Which two players combined to score 70 plus in a single game for the BYU record? And normally picking Jimmer is a pretty good way to go, but on this night, it's Tyler Hawes and Matt Carlino. They scored 73 in a three overtime game at Portland in 2014. Took a lot of overtimes to get there, but it was a wild night.
Tough to do.
All right, it's time to Know the Foe, presented by Health Decide. Decode your DNA, design your destiny. And let's take a look at the Kansas State Wildcats coming into town on Saturday. You see their net and KenPom rankings. You see they're 7-6 in the Big 12, but as we see there, they followed six straight losses with six straight wins. That's hard to do. And they have four players averaging 10-plus points per game. Nobody coached in the top 20 in Big 12 scoring because they spread it around pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what makes them unique. You know, they've got some big guy who can really kind of hurt you all over the floor. That makes them unique as well. So, you know, we'll have our hands full. And any team that's, you know, won six straight is clearly confident. And it'll be a good chance for our guys to build on what we did on the road.
And coming off a really nice win, they beat Arizona on Tuesday night, the same night you were playing in Morgantown.
And, I think Arizona is one of the best teams in the country. So clearly, Kansas State's found something, so we'll have to be at our best.
Okay, broadcast schedule for Saturday's game, BYU and K-State from the Marriott Center. Here's what it looks like. You can catch Countdown and Cougar pregame live on both BYU Radio and ESPN Plus beginning at 6 Mountain Time, 8 Eastern. The game itself will be on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio with Mark and me. That'll be at 9 Eastern, 7 Mountain, and then stick with both BYU TV and BYU Radio for postgame coverage immediately after the game. Well, Foos, we've had you on every year that you've been a BYU Cougar. This might be your last trip to visit with us here in Studio C. That makes me sad, but I'm so happy you've been a part of the BYU family for the last 4 years.
Yeah. No, I'm grateful, definitely, you know. Like, it's been a really fun 4 years, you know. I will always be a Cougar fan, and I'll always be grateful.
Well, we love you. And thanks for being here, man. We appreciate it. All right. Thanks, folks.